Okay, last week we looked at eight different kinds of pronouns, just little words that we need to always be looking for when we read the Word of God. On tonight to consider another little word, pronouns, indefinite pronouns. They do not point to any one specific person, place, or thing in particular, but they refer to an individual or a group of individuals in a general way. And again, the important thing is to realize that context determines the extent of these indefinite pronouns. And some of the words that are considered indefinite pronouns can also be adjectives, and some of them that we'll look at are that, but so they're not all indefinite pronouns, but these are words that, again, helps us to keep things in context and very important to be looking for. The word all is an indefinite pronoun, sometimes an adjective, and all, of course, means the whole quantity or extent of. We see the word all through the Word of God. And the word all may be without limitation. It may be without exception. At other times, it is with limitation. And it is with exception. Common sense and context determines which how the word is used. But again, there are times when the word all is without limitation, without exception. Now, there are people today who build doctrines, false doctrines, based on a misconception of the word all, just taking the word all out of context. But again, there are times when there is no limitation to the word. For example, if we turn to John 17, and we'll look at a lot of verses tonight, but in John 17 and verse 2, "And thou hast given him power over all flesh." Now, all there is an adjective describing flesh, but the word all there, of course, is without limitation. It is without exception. Jesus Christ has power. He has authority over all flesh. No exceptions whatsoever. Then notice in the book of Romans, again, we see the word is used without any limitation, without any exceptions. In Romans chapter 3, we'll read verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No one, no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all, without exception, they are all under sin." Now, that's more than saying that they all have sin. Certainly they have. But they are under sin. It means they are under the dominion of sin. And all, Jews and Gentiles, are under the dominion of sin, of course, before salvation. Verse 12, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." They are all gone out of the way. Again, without any limitation, without any exception. Verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." All the world. Again, there's many false doctrines built upon the word world. The word world, of course, does not necessarily mean everyone in the world. But here we see it's very plainly stated, all the world, without any exception. Verse 23, for all have sinned. So in each of those verses, we see the word all is without any limitation, without any exceptions whatsoever. Then notice in Colossians chapter 1, we again see no limitation put upon the word all. Colossians 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created, without any exception. All things were created by him that are in heaven and that are on earth. That is, all things in heaven, all things in earth, created by him, without any exception. This includes things that are visible. This includes things that are invisible. And he goes on in verse 17. Well, the end of verse 16, he says, all things were created by him and for him. Again, without exception. Verse 17, he is before all things, without any exception or limitation. And by him all things consist. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then verse 19, in him should all fullness dwell. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So there are just a few examples where the word all has no limit. And the word all has no exceptions. But most of the time, the word all has limitations. Most of the time, the word all has some exceptions. And this is more prevalent in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Again, people build a false doctrine, universal redemption, based upon a misinterpretation of the word all. In verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, does that mean every single individual? Well, of course not. We're not hated by everyone. So all here has to have some limitation, has to have some exceptions. Now, the verse prior to that, in verse 21, he talks about brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye, the saved, shall be hated of all men. And I believe what he's talking about is all kinds or all types of men, whether it be brother or father or mother, sister. It'll be all types of men. But obvious common sense tells you that all has to have a limit here, because we're not hated by all men. Then notice in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, very familiar verse, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, the all here refers to those who labor and are heavy laden, those who labor under a burden of sin, those who are weighted down with sin. They are invited to come to Christ. So all here again has some limitations. The limitation is that they have to labor and they have to be weighted down under the burden of sin. In Matthew 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now in verse 31, if we back up, all, and it's qualified by the word ye. And again here, all is an adjective describing ye, modifying ye. All ye, the 12, the apostles, shall be offended. He wasn't talking about everybody in the world at that time. He was talking about all those of a particular group, the church here at this time, the apostles. And then when Peter said, though all be offended, he's talking about the same group. So again, all has to be taken within context. In the book of Luke, chapter 13, book of Luke, chapter 13, we read the same thing in verse 3, and we read the same thing in verse 5. Luke 13, 3, he says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The all, of course, refers to those who do not repent. Everybody without exception. There is no limitation here. If they do not repent, they're going to perish. There's no exception. But the word all here does not include, of course, those who do repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then notice in John chapter 6, passage that we've looked at several times. But in John chapter 6, and verse 37 and verse 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all here refers to those whom the Father has given him. It's not referring to anybody who has not been given to the Father. It includes every single individual who has been given by the Father to the Son. All of them, every single one without limitation. But again, we're talking about all in a particular group, those given to the Son. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, the only ones coming are the ones given, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me. There it is again. All is referring to those that the Father has given the Son. I should lose nothing, or I should lose none of them. Every single one of them will come, and every single one of them will be raised up again at the last day. So all here, again, is referring to a specific group of people. It is referring, and it includes everyone in that specific group. And that specific group are those whom the Father has given to the Son. Then notice in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Now, all here refers back to they. They shall be all taught of God. So who are the they? Well, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. They is talking about all of those who are drawn of the Father. And every one of them, every single one of them without any exception, shall be taught of God. They are taught of God as he draws them. They are taught that they are a sinner. They are taught that Jesus Christ is their only hope. And then after they come to Christ, they are taught. But every single one of them shall be taught of God. Now this produces a real dilemma for a lot of folks, because there's a lot of people who claim to be saved who do not know the very first thing about the truth of salvation. And yet it says here, every one of them shall be taught. And that leads us to believe that, of course, they're not saved. Then notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all. Now, you're not talking about everybody without exception here, but upon all them. So the all is the them. And who are the them? They are those that believe. So he's talking about all that believe. He's not talking here about those who do not believe. He's talking about all who believe. Then notice in 1 Peter 5, verse 14. 1 Peter 5, verse 14. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. All here has nothing to do with anybody outside of Jesus Christ. It is all, without exception, in Christ Jesus. And then in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Arminians, one of their favorite verses, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Arminian will say, God wants everyone without exception to come to repentance. Well, if that is so, then that begs the question, why doesn't it happen? If God wants that to happen, why doesn't it happen? Is it because He can't cause it to happen? What is the reason? Now, all here is not referring to everyone in the world. Because according to Isaiah chapter 14, if God wants everyone without exception to come to repentance, guess what? They're all going to. But here we see all refers back to the usward. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all. All referring back to usward. So that leads to the question, who does usward refer to? Well, in verse 8, beloved, that's who it's referring to, but beloved. It's referring to the beloved. God is not willing that any of them should perish. Who's the beloved referring to? Well, we go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 1, and we read, Simon Peter, a servant, this is who he's writing to. These are the group that would be included in the usward. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, which is the same as the usward, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the all is referring to the usward is referring to the beloved is referring to those who have obtained like precious faith. God is not willing that any of those should perish, which lines up perfectly with John chapter 6, verse 37 and John chapter 6, verse 39. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, we read, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now, does that mean? Does that mean everyone who has ever told a lie is going to have their part in the lake of fire? Well, of course not. There's a limitation. And you read that verse, Revelation 21:8, and the verses prior to it, he's talking about the lost. All lost liars, all unsaved liars, if they leave this world without Jesus Christ, all liars, just like all whoremongers, as it says there, and all idolaters shall have their part in the lake of fire. So when the Arminian says, well, all always means everybody, it includes everybody all the time, well, then they're in a heap of trouble, because their favorite doctrine is eternal security, and if they're going to be consistent, when they get over to Revelation 21:8, they've got to go to the lake of fire, because all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. But all, of course, is limited to what he's talking about, which, of course, is the one who dies without Christ. That brings us to the second indefinite pronoun, which is the word any. The word any. And again, the word any, just like the word all, can be without limitation, can be without exception. And there's several places where certainly that is true in the Word of God. And the word any can, just like the word all, and most of the time, is limited and inclusive of a specific group of people. In Mark chapter 4, verse 23, the word any is limited to those who have ears to hear. That's talking about spiritual ears. It's talking about spiritual hearing. But in John chapter 7, if we turn there, John chapter 7, and we'll read verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man, and he hears an adjective describing, modifying man, if any man, now it doesn't say if that any man can come unto me and drink. That's not what it says. It says if, and the word if states a condition. There is a condition here. And the condition is thirst. If any man thirst, let him, who? The one who thirsts. Let him come unto me and drink. The only ones who can come are those who thirst. Now you remember, the only ones who can come are those whom the Father draws to the Son, which means God is going to create a thirst in them. They come wanting what Jesus Christ says. The Arminian today tries to pray people through who have no thirst. If any man thirst. So there has, the any, of course, is limited to and inclusive to those who thirst. Then notice in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, and that's two very important words, by me, if any man enter in, if any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. So the any here refers to those who enter in by Jesus Christ. Anyone who comes by the way of Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. But you cannot just enter any old way. It's by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So the any is limited to those who enter in. It is limited to those who enter in by Jesus Christ. These people today that say, well, you know, I believe so-and-so saved. They don't believe salvation like I do. They believe in works, but I believe they're saved. No, they're not. By me, if any man enter in. There's only one way to enter in. And the any here is limited to those who enter in by Christ. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 again, if we go back there, it's going to say the same thing, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, same thing that said last time we read it. But in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Now, any here is not without limitation. It again, just like the word all, refers back to usward. And the usward refers to the beloved, and the beloved refers to those who are of like precious faith. That is a foundation for eternal security. The reason God's people are secure is because God is not willing that any of them shall perish. You have to have a basis. You have to have a foundation for eternal security. It can't be based upon because it makes me feel good. And to be honest, that's what the Arminian bases it on. They like it. They say a prayer and you're saved for eternity. You can never be lost. All you got to do is repeat a few words. But eternal security has to have a foundation. And the foundation of it is the will of God. He's not willing that any of the usward should perish. So again, we have all, we have any. The word many also is an indefinite pronoun and also is limited by context. And the word many, of course, means a large or indefinite number. A large or indefinite number. Now, an Arminian, let's turn to Isaiah 53. And an Arminian friend of mine told me here in Isaiah 53, where we read the word many, well, that word should be all. Well, it's not all, it's many. And the truth is, many lines up with other verses of Scripture as well. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, He, God the Father, shall see of the travail of His soul, that is, the travail of the soul of Christ, and shall be satisfied. God the Father looked down upon Christ as Christ was laying down His life, saw the travail of His soul, saw the suffering of Christ, and God the Father was satisfied. He was satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many. For He shall bear their. The word there is referring back to the word many. He shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Jesus Christ poured out his soul unto death. In other words, no one took his life from him. He poured it out. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare, carried, endured the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And the transgressors here are also included in that word many, and the intercession was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ, every prayer that he ever prayed was answered, because he never prayed out of the will of God. So everyone that Christ prayed for when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, was saved. And I believe they were saved on the day of Pentecost, and some perhaps even after that. But again, we see the word many. Now notice in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom for many lines up perfectly with what we just read in Isaiah 53:11-12. Then notice in chapter 26 and verse 28. Chapter 26, verse 28. Jesus doing the speaking, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed," not spilt. There's a big difference. Spilt is an accident. "Which is shed for many, for the remission of sins." The remission of the sins of many. Not all, without limitation, but many, which is a large, indefinite number of people. And that's why we read in the book of Revelation, a multitude which could not be numbered. It is a large, indefinite number of people, many. Then notice in John chapter 17, and again, we've already read this verse tonight, but we'll read it again. In John 17 and verse 2. We looked at this verse earlier and looked at the word all. "As thou hast given him power," authority, "over all flesh." Now, why did God give Jesus Christ authority over all flesh? Well, he tells us why. That he's now going to tell us why. Christ has authority over all flesh. "That he should give eternal life to as many." Now, he could have used "all" there, "to all as thou hast given him." And that would line up with John 6:37. "All that the Father has given him shall come." But here it is, "to as many," no more, no less, "that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Now, you read through John 17, and no matter what a person's theology is, you read John 17 and tell me that somebody didn't give somebody to somebody. I mean, all the way through, somebody gave somebody to somebody. That's election. And the reason he did this, and again, that Jesus Christ should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Again, we see this word "many" in verse 28. Hebrews 9 in verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." To bear the sins of many. So again, we see this word is used consistently. When talking about the death of Christ, the writers use consistently the word "many." He shed his blood for many. He bare the sins of many. That is a large, indefinite number of people. Then we have the word "none," which is an indefinite pronoun and simply means no persons or things. And again, the word "none" may be without limitation. It may be without any exception. Notice in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through verse 12, "There is none righteous." And then to emphasize that there is no exception here, "no, not one." There is none righteous, no, not one. Now that doesn't simply mean that our unrighteousness outweighs our righteousness. It says there is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. That is why they have to be drawn by the Father. That is why they have to be taught. That is why they have to have a thirst created in them. There is none that understandeth. And it is criminal to have someone who does not understand the first thing about being lost say a prayer. It's criminal. There is none that understandeth. And because there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. None that seeketh after God. Left to themselves, they'll never seek God. There is none. There's no exception here. No one will ever seek God unless God does a work within them. Verse 12, they are all, there's the word all, they are all gone out of the way. And they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So the word none here is without limitation. Without limitation. Then notice in the book of Luke, we see that the word none is used with some limitation. In Luke chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, Christ is teaching on salvation. And he's teaching the authority and the power and the sovereignty of God in salvation. In verse 26, he says, let's read verse 25. But I tell you truth. Many, there's the word many, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them, the them referring back to the widows, but unto none of them was Elias sent. Save, in other words, there's an exception here. Except unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Of all the widows, God sent Elias to one. Verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed. None of them. Of all those lepers, none of them was cleansed, saving, or except Naaman the Syrian. Now, the Pharisees in the synagogue knew exactly what Jesus was teaching here. He was teaching that God saves whom he pleases. And verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Who was it that was filled with wrath at the very thought that God would save who he pleases? The religious folks. Not the saved folks, but religious people. And it's the same today. And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And I want to tell you, they would do the same thing today. If Jesus Christ were to walk our streets and go into Baptist, so-called Baptist churches today and preach that message, they'd do the same thing that they did then, because they hate it. They hate the thought that God would have the audacity to save whom he will. You mean I don't have anything to do with it? What about my works? What about my will? It means nothing. So Jesus went out of the midst of them. But we see the word none here has a limitation to the one, with the exception of the ones that God sent Elisus to. And then, of course, you have the word some, which means certain ones of an unspecified quantity. Some never means all. Some. Not everyone, but some. And all through the New Testament, we see that word some. It is an indefinite pronoun. It's talking about certain ones. But it does not specify who the some are, but some. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. For we hear that there are some, not all, but there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And we've run out of time, but you go to 1 Timothy and you see the word some all the way through. Some shall depart from the faith. Some shall give heed to seducing spirits. Some who have coveted after riches have erred from the faith. There's always those some. So these are all little words that are, especially the word all, the word any, the word many. Those words are always, have to always be taken within context. Always. I was going to say I have a book, but I don't have it anymore. It burned up. And it really needed to be burned up. It's a book, about 108 pages. And the author takes the word all, just try to show how that all always means all without exception. I mean, you have to lose your mind. I mean, you can't know anything at all about English language to believe that. And yet a man wrote a book, and people buy it. I didn't buy it. Someone gave it to me. And people buy it, and they believe that stuff. And it doesn't make any sense. It goes against all common sense. It goes against all grammatical rules. It goes against everything. And they build doctrines. They build doctrines upon the misinterpretation of words. They build doctrines by taking words out of their context and out of their natural usage and meaning. They build whole doctrines, and they build churches based upon these doctrines. And then people sit there and they get all excited and say, oh, he's preaching the Bible. No, he's not. He's not preaching the Word of God at all. He's preaching another gospel. And that's what Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians chapter 1. He says, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And we've said this before, but it gets next to me when people will say, well, you know, they don't believe in salvation by grace, but at least they preach salvation. If they don't believe salvation by grace, they're not preaching salvation. They're preaching another gospel is what they're doing. It's another gospel. And if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. In other words, you do not receive them. You do not support them in any way. And this is serious business. And if people would just look at these little words, again, it becomes so very, very clear. Just looking at little words. So again, as we stated over and over and over, it's not the big words, it's those little words that bring it all together. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.